Tonight's reading is from Paul's letter to the Galatians. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if, in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. It's the word of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So tonight I want to tell you a little story, a story about a great athlete and the little boy or young boy that looked up to him. The athlete was a legendary football player, one of the all-time greats. In one of his first college football games, he ran a 64-yard touchdown. At the same game, a 15-year-old snuck in the back gate just to see this man, his idol. The player won the Heisman Trophy and was asked to be the keynote speaker at the kids' awards banquet for his football team. And at that banquet, this player named him and asked to meet him. He was over the moon. Not only did his idol know his name, but he got to meet him and talk to him. The older man mentored the younger, and they became friends. Well, the older man became an NFL Hall of Famer, but the younger man didn't quite make it that far. He became a cop. But he was patrolling the neighborhood where his friend lived. He brought his cop friends to meet this great player and to get his autograph. They played tennis together. They got to know each other's families. He loved this man. He really looked up to him. And then 26 years later, and they were friends for all that time, this great player committed a crime that killed their friendship. So you may not be able or be old enough to remember this, but if you are, you'll remember this white Bronco driving on the highway in L.A. And this mesmerized the country for hours to watch this white Bronco with the killer inside of a double homicide. This man was O.J. Simpson, if you haven't heard of him. And the cop was a man named Ron Shipp. The murder was O.J.'s wife, Nicole, and her friend Ron. It's a very gruesome murder. It occurred 22 years ago today, June 12th, 1994. And this younger man, Ron, testified against his friend at the trial because he was sure that he had done it. You know, a new documentary just came out on ESPN this week, and it's called O.J. Made in America. And it's really looking at this case that was called the trial of the century to look at it in terms of race and gender and historical issues and the bigger picture around why this was so mesmerizing for the country. Of course, now in retrospect, if you go back and read about O.J., it's really easy to stand here 22 years later and see how wrong he was, how much we can judge him for what he did. But we've forgotten how much everyone loved O.J. So before Michael Jordan, before Tiger Woods, long before LeBron James or David Beckham, there was O.J. Simpson. He was the first major athlete to get a contract from a corporation, not a sports company, but a major corporation as an endorsement. He was inducted into the Pro Hall of Fame in 1985. He entertained the troops in the Gulf War. He made 13 box office movies, most of them comedies. And he was a favorite commentator on the Monday Night Football. Everyone loved O.J. We called him the Juice. O.J. was quoted as saying during that time, "I need that recognition. What is driving me is that need to be known, that need to be liked, that need to have people say when I walk down the street, 'Hey, that's O.J.' I want people to know me." Well, in other words, O.J. wanted to belong and be loved, which should sound pretty familiar to all of us. O.J. was acquitted of criminal charges in this double homicide, but convicted in civil court of damages. Ron Shipp thinks O.J. is in total torment today. In a radio interview this week, Ron said he knows unless he confesses what he did, he'll be tormented for the rest of his life. I fully believe that one day he will confess. Well, Ron Shipp knows human nature. He knows what the law does to us humans inside. The law tells you you're not enough. You're not loved. You're alone. You're abandoned. No matter how many fans you have, it's never enough to expunge the guilt, the self-condemnation, to make you feel loved. The law told O.J. these things. Even when he was one of the most popular celebrities in the world, this is little L law telling him those things, but also big L law. The Ten Commandments told him that as he broke those. So whether or not we believe the laws, the Ten Commandments, or the little L law, the hidden rules in our society, it has the same effect on us inside. It sits on your shoulder like a judge, telling you you're not enough, you're not doing things right, condemning you. It makes you want to run and hide. So we defend ourselves. We can't admit what we've done. We've all had this experience, even if you haven't committed murder. So in our text from Galatians today, Paul says what we're all thinking. He starts out by saying, well, when we compare ourselves to these people, and he's talking about the Gentiles, we're thinking about O.J. When we compare ourselves to these people, we look pretty good. We say, at least I'm not a murderer. I've never done anything like that. But the law doesn't seem to care what size the sin is, since all sin is self-centered and self-justifying. All sin is about trying to look better than we are, attempting to manage our image, manipulate what you think of me. As Paul says in our text today, we ourselves have been found to be sinners. We are all members of Sinners Anonymous. Hi, my name's Mary Lou. I'm a sinner. For instance, when I was 12 years old, this is a little thing, it's not a big thing, but it's the kind of thing that affects you. I secretly opened my mother's Christmas present. It was under the tree, and I knew it was face powder because I knew my dad had bought it for her, and it's really expensive face powder. And I was 12 years old, and I couldn't use makeup yet, so I really wanted to use this. So I unwrapped it, put a whole bunch on my 12-year-old little face, wrapped it back up, and put it under the tree. Well, when my mom opened it on Christmas morning, of course she knew that it had been used. And she asked me very earnestly, Mary Lou, did you use this? No, I have three brothers. Of course it was me. But did you by chance use this? And I was like, no, Mom, how can you say that? I would never do that. And I cried. I was like, how could you accuse me of that? I knew perfectly well I had done it. So she ended up returning this makeup. I don't know what she told the people at the store, but I knew the truth. It sat on my heart for years until I could talk to her about it. Because what I was telling myself and the things we tell ourselves is, what kind of person does that? Does something on purpose and then lies about it. I'm a liar. But this voice inside of me saying I'm a liar. We all have stories like this. Small incidents that convince us that we are ill-fitted to the world, that we're fakes. And they leave us defeated by guilt. This is the law at work. That's what its job is. This Galatians text is basically the Protestant Reformation in a nutshell. And Martin Luther wrote extensively on what it means to our faith. Martin Luther says, first, a person learns who she is. Having been humbled by the law and having been brought into a right estimate of himself, a man will repent. He finds out that he is so depraved that not strength, no works, no merits of his own will ever deliver him from his guilt. He will then understand the meaning of Paul's words, "They are all under sin." Law is not a bad thing. It has its place, but it requires perfect obedience, which we are completely unable to do. So the law is the sheriff come to town, the school disciplinarian, the traffic cop. The law accuses us in our innermost self. And Martin Luther tells us that we start to feel a heaviness of heart. We feel self-righteous anger, like I did with that makeup. And we also feel a spiritual death, an isolating of ourselves. In AA, this is called the bondage of self. A person in this state starts to lament, "Who is going to help me? Because I cannot help myself." But frankly, if we could help ourselves, we would. We would prefer to help ourselves. We would have no need of Christ. If we could be good enough, or try hard enough, or be smart enough to get out of this mess called the human condition all by ourselves, we certainly would. We don't have the power. But there is more to our faith than the law. You know, when O.J. was riding in this white Bronco, he's going up a highway in L.A. for hours, he is also asking by radio if he could talk to his mother, Eunice. He wanted to talk to his mother. He was feeling accused and condemned, and he just needed some love and acceptance. This is how we all are. OJ are us. We feel accused and condemned and in need of help. But like OJ's mom that day, grace loves us no matter what. It doesn't require anything of us. It defies logic. As Paul Zoll has said, grace is a liberating contradiction between what we deserve and what we get. Grace is unconditional acceptance given to an undeserving person by an unobligated giver. And this is the good news of Jesus Christ. Grace is the guy in the white hat, the caring nurse, that loving parent. And you have experienced this sometime in your life. Someone forgave you without your needing to ask, paid your debt, picked up the check, loved you when you were feeling unlovable, held your hand when you were scared, or maybe just quietly sat with you. Grace is love. St. Paul says, "I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." This is Word made flesh. This is the God who loves us. You know, writer Parker Palmer tells a story of grace when he was in a very deep depression. A couple years long, this depression was. And he had friends that kept coming by and telling him what he should do. He should get out there in that beautiful weather and just have a chin up. Or he'd helped so many people. Why couldn't he just help himself? But none of this helped him. He couldn't help himself. But he says, there was this one friend who came to me after asking permission to do so. Every afternoon about 4 o'clock, he sat me down in a chair in the living room and took off my shoes and socks and massaged my feet. He hardly ever said anything. What he mainly did for me, of course, was to be willing to be present to me in my suffering. He just hung in with me in this very quiet, very simple, very tactile way. And I've never really been able to find the words to fully express my gratitude for that. But I know it made a huge difference. So grace accompanies you in your suffering, quietly, without expectation of return. So I started wondering, what happened to Ron Shipp, the younger guy, the boy that snuck through the gate? The one that testified against his friend. Well, he's written a memoir called The Heart Behind the Badge. He realized that he had some things to confess. But grace has softened his heart toward his old friend, OJ, and he now sees how they are both in need of grace, and they have both been recipients of grace, which sounds like us. Amen.